good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. And as we come, a couple of brief announcements. First, a very special welcome and thanks to Ariel, who's playing the piano this morning. Brian Hublett was scheduled to be our organist this morning, and Brian is feeling unwell. And so, as all of us are these days, in an exercise of due care and caution, on Thursday, I guess, I had this email that said he wasn't going to be able to be here this morning. So on Thursday, I started the search for somebody to play this morning. And Ariel was the last person I called because she said yes. So an extra special thanks to Ariel for pitching in at the last minute. It's always a little bit more stressful when you don't have that time for practice. So we're really grateful for her leadership this morning. Following worship, the coffee is on in the McClellan room, so do plan to stay for a time of fellowship and a cup of coffee and a cookie as well. There are cookies for those who are so cookie-minded. The Canadian Red Cross, the Canadian government working in partnership with the Canadian Red Cross, has launched an appeal for funds to do relief as a result of the effects of Hurricane Fiona that hit Atlantic Canada a couple of weeks ago. Normally, we would encourage people to give through PWS&D, but as I say, the government has reached out and has set it up so that donations to the Canadian Red Cross will be matched. And that will happen until October 23rd, which is next Sunday. So you have this Sunday and next Sunday to make a donation to Hurricane Fiona Relief, and it will be matched by the federal government. And finally, we're looking for singers to kind of help and build out the choir for the Advent and Christmas season. Minna, who has been doing the bulk of our supply organist, has offered to work with whoever wishes to sing to bring that element of special music to our worship service during the holiday season. And it would be great to have a couple more voices on. It would be nice to have a couple more voices on each part. So that would be 8 people, all told, men and women, to help with that. So if you're if you've sung in the past and would like to come in, if you've never sung in a choir before but thought, gee, I wonder what it's like to sing in a choir, kind of like a 6-week commitment is all we're asking of you for this particular point of time. You're not joining the choir forever. Although you can, but it is for the next, just for the next couple of months to rehearse and then perform a couple of special anthems through Advent and Christmas. So please give that some consideration. We light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that in all we do, we seek to walk in his ways. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call, and it will appear before you on the screen. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Oh, don't stand up yet. Because I told Keppel I was going to forget this. The session summary for this week's session met, and Keppel will bring us the session summary. Sorry, Keppel, I knew I was going to do that.
And I reminded him at 2 minutes before we came back. So it's okay. Early Alzheimer's is setting in. Session met on Tuesday, October 11th, 2022, at 7 p.m. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer, including in it some of our flock who are in need of prayer. He read from Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. In this passage, the church in Philippi was Paul's favorite, and that came through loud and clear in the introduction. We hear of his encouragement to the church, and he urges the people to be constant, resolute and diligent in prayer and steadfast in their faith. Paul tells them to live righteously and to be united in love and affection for one another. He gives a promise to them that they will become a community of faith. Session has purchased a wreath from the Royal Canadian Legion that will be placed at the cenotaph on November 11th. The funds for the wreath were taken from the Brown Fund, which is controlled by the Session. For the communion on October the 2nd, 49 people were in attendance. Brenda Aikman delivered 19 pre-filled cups to those who were unable to attend in person, and Reverend Adams administered another 9. Brenda Aikman reported that the annual disbursements from the McNish Fund will be as follows. $200 to the Carbrew Presbyterian Church, $200 to the Presbyterian Church Heritage Center, and $300 to the Gracefield Christian Camp and Retreat. The Pastoral Care Committee has updated their mandate, and it's available to read in the McLennan Room after service. If you are interested in helping with this important ministry, please speak to Barbara Mason. Reverend Adams will take his final week of vacation for 2022 from November 14th to the 20th. Session granted permission to Reverend Adams to officiate the wedding of his son, John, and his fiancée, Sarah. The date and location have yet to be chosen. The Worship and Music Committee will meet on October 20th at 7:30 via Zoom. They will use this time to continue to plan for the Advent season, Christmas Eve services, and discuss the vacant organist's position. If you are interested in participating in the WM Life of the Church, please speak to Michelle Alexis. Kevin Barras reported that the financial position is positive. However, he wants everyone to be mindful of the fact that this positivity comes from the fact that we received the HSD credit from 2019 and some of 2021. Reverend Adams closed the meeting with the benediction.
Thank you, Keppel. And if there's any questions you have on anything that Keppel brought forward, you can speak to Keppel or any of the elders, and they may be able to answer your question. I might even be able to answer the question, but I wouldn't promise that. Let us stand once more as we come into the house of our Lord, and we come together to say the call to worship. Teach us, O Lord, the way of your statutes,
and let us observe it to the end.
Give us understanding that we may keep your law,
and observe it with our hearts.
Turn our hearts to your decrees,
and not to selfish gain.
Turn our eyes from looking at vanities.
Give us life in your ways.
Confirm to your servants your promise, and let us worship you. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace and steadfast love, in Jesus Christ you taught us to pray stubbornly, relentlessly, faithfully, crying out for justice night and day. Hear our prayers for the world that you have made. Give us the patience, strength, and hope to love and care for one another as you have loved and cared for us stubbornly, relentlessly, faithfully, until justice reigns and peace prevails, as the coming of Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. And our opening hymn for this morning is, O Servants of God. The words will appear before you on the screen or can be found in the Book of Praise at 459. The new covenant that God has made with Israel and with us begins in forgiveness. Though we continually break covenant with God, God remains faithful. We confess our sins to God, trusting that God will forgive us and remember our sins no more, as we say together the prayer as it appears before you on the screen. Gracious God, we confess that we do not meditate on your commands and teachings all day long. We do not keep your word before us always and in all things. Instead, we turn away from your demanding truth and wander toward easier options. Forgive us, we pray, for pursuing our own desires rather than yours. Forgive us for growing weary in following you, for failing to pray and work tirelessly for justice, for losing hope in your power to transform the powers of this world. Tune our ears to the sound of your justice. Tune our hearts to the commandments and word of grace. Do not remember our sins, but remember your mercy forever. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, the scriptures are given to correct our ways, to train us in righteousness, and to equip us for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, the only judge of the living and the dead, we give thanks for the gift of forgiveness. We talk often in the church. We use a fancy word in church. Always have fancy words in church. We say repentance, but repentance is simply to change, or actually it means to turn around, literally the Greek word that we use that gets translated most often as repentance is simply to turn. So we talk about how we are encouraged to turn, to be more like God and like Jesus in all that we do. But I think all of us know that sometimes that turning is hard, isn't it? It's hard to start a new habit, a new routine. I think I read somewhere that it takes 40 days to set something in so that it becomes a habit. So if you want to start a new diet, if you want to start a new exercise program, if you want to build any sort of habit into your life, because we all kind of thrive on the repetition of habit, right? If you want to do any of that, you just have to see it through those first 40, 60 days. And then it becomes a part of you. And it becomes easier. But man, how many of us have ever tried getting ourselves in better shape? And after about day 12, it's a long way away. But if we can make it all the way to 40, then we'll be okay. It's interesting, isn't it? Because 40 is one of those things that shows up so many times in Scripture. How long was Noah in the ark? 40 days. How long did the Exodus take for the people of Israel to travel from Egypt through to the Promised Land? 40 years. Interesting, eh? 40-somethings to come to a new understanding, a turning around in our lives. It just speaks to the fact that whatever we want to do, it takes a little bit of work. From practicing the piano so that you grow to be proficient, or any other musical instrument, to practicing your slap shot, or any sort of athletic endeavor. It all takes that commitment to work and to practice. And eventually we'll get there. As we turn to Scripture now and think about that command that we have to always be turning around and to be finding new life. Just remember those things. We'll be talking a little bit about those themes throughout the morning this morning. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, the words of Scripture are God-breathed words, inspired by you and given life through the power of your Holy Spirit. By your Spirit, breathe your word into us, so that we might become proficient in the language of faith and equipped to proclaim the message we receive for the sake of Jesus Christ, who is the living word. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seeds of humans and the seeds of animals. And just as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the parents have eaten their sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But all shall die for their own sins. The teeth of the one who eats sour grapes shall be set on edge. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Now we have from the Old Testament, Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104, a responsive reading. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all day long.
Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is always with me.
I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your decrees are my meditation.
I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts.
I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word.
I do not turn away from your ordinances, for you have taught me.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
Though your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way.
And in the New Testament, the second book of Timothy, chapter 3, verse 14 to chapter 4, verse 5. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message, be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound teaching, but, having their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, be sober in everything, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. And from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Soon afterward, he went on through one town and village after another, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who ministered to them out of their own resources. When a large crowd was gathering, as people were coming to him from town after town, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on a path and was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on a rock, and as it grew up, it withered for lack of moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Some fell into good soil, and when it grew, it produced 100-fold. As he said this, he called out, "If you have ears to hear, then hear." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our hymn will appear before us on the screens, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." It is also 746 in the Book of Praise.
Thank you.
Every now and then I make this little joke about somebody just picking the reading, and then the minister has to preach on it. This morning is one of those joke mornings. Because Barry just read a gospel text that I'm not ready to preach on. So I can try to live out the joke and preach on, I think it was Luke chapter 8 that Barry just read. However, the sermon I prepared is on Luke chapter 18. So I'm going to read that passage for you, and then the sermon will make sense. Then Jesus told them a parable about the need to pray always and not lose heart. He said, In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anybody, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to those to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Friends, this is the word of the Lord. What I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning we turn our attention to one of the parables of Jesus. And after preaching for most of the fall so far on the faithfulness of the church, it's nice, isn't it, to get back and to hear the parables of the gospel again. And today's parable is really probably one of the most easy parables in all of Scripture to preach. Because Luke tells us right at the beginning of this reading, in the very first verse that we hear this morning, what the parable's all about. He says, "Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and to not lose heart." Makes for an easy job for the preacher, doesn't it? Everything I need to say, right there, in one little verse. What more do you need? If I sat down right now, you'd have everything that you need to know about the parable because you heard that one little verse. We could all just say a prayer, get up and go, and we'd get the good tables at the restaurant for brunch this morning. Except, I'm not really sure you'd be happy with that approach, even if it does give you the good tables. Not because you're secretly yearning for a longer sermon. I've yet to meet anybody who said, "Gee, preacher, we wish you'd pray longer. Preach longer." But because having read this passage all week long, I'm pretty sure that if you were listening at all, you still have a couple of questions. There is no satisfying resolution to the parable that Jesus tells about this persistent widow and the unjust judge. There's no go and do likewise, because we can go and do likewise. And there's no, for the kingdom of God will be like one of these, because we like it when we hear what the kingdom of God is going to be like. No, the problem with this parable that we read from Luke chapter 18 is that from start to finish, there is an absence of justice. The parable begins with the widow going to an unjust judge. And after Jesus tells the whole parable, after everything happens, Jesus says to us, but the judge, he's still unjust. Now that can't be right, can it? Isn't God supposed to answer prayer? Isn't there supposed to be some great change of character in these stories that Jesus tells? Some unexpected turn where the judge sees the error in his ways and, like Ebenezer Scrooge on Christmas morning, realizes all that he's done wrong in his entire life. Yeah, not here. Sorry. Parable of the sower? Way better parable, let me tell you. But not here. Perhaps that's why Luke feels he has to explain the story for us. He has to give us that explanation in the first verse so that we can figure out what's really going on here. Lest we miss the whole point. A widow goes to a judge seeking justice. The widows play a prominent role in the story of Scripture, right? This isn't the first or the last widow that we are introduced to in Scripture. They show up often, and they do so because they are the epitome of powerlessness and poverty. In the patriarchal society of the Bible, women were under the care of men. And at certain points in their lives, they simply transitioned from being under the care of their father in their father's households to being under the care of their husbands in their husband's households. And the problem then becomes that should the head of the second household, this husband, die prematurely, should a woman be widowed, then she's left with no protector, no provider. She's left with no say and no security. And that's why they keep coming up time and again in Scripture. That's why it's a widow who comes this morning to the judge seeking justice. So when this widow comes seeking justice, she is one of the invisible and the voiceless in her society. And the judge, well, there's not much to say about him, is there? Just listen to Jesus' description of the judge. In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. Clearly, he's not the guy you're supposed to be following in this text, is he? But it seems perhaps, just perhaps, this judge has met his match in this widow. That's what we read in the story, isn't it? Because while the judge is cold and indifferent, this widow is insistent. She just keeps coming day after day after day demanding justice. She is the Energizer Bunny of the call for justice. And at the end, she simply wears this poor judge down. Though I have no fear, the judge says it himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps coming and she keeps bothering me, I'm going to grant her justice just so that she'll leave me alone. That's what the judge says. There is no Dickensian moment of transformation in this story, in the life of the judge. He is just as unscrupulous at the end of the story as he was in the beginning. And he knows it. He says it himself. But at least now, there is justice for the widow. That's kind of problematic, isn't it? Nothing's really changed. The widow is still the same widow that she was beforehand, poor and powerless in the society in which she lives, susceptible to every action of the powerful in her society. And the judge is still just as unconcerned about people and no concern for God and God's kingdom than when we met him at the beginning of the story. So who is this parable all about anyway? The parable is about you. The parable is about those to whom it was addressed. Jesus says, listen to what this unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen people who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That's not a question for any of the people in the story. That's a question for us. And it remains an unanswered question, even when we get to the end of the story. After all is said and done in this parable, nothing really has changed. The widow still ekes out her existence with no one to advocate to her, and society still seems to care little for people who are on the margins or to be moved by our moral convictions to address injustice in our society. Nothing's changed at the end of the parable concerning what's going on in the parable. But nothing's changed concerning what's going on in the parable to this very day. Somewhere in the white space in the sermon notes here, between those two realities, those two lines of text, we find ourselves. Sometimes, perhaps, in need of support and assistance, perhaps in need of a change of heart required to ensure that justice is justice for all. Somewhere in there, we find ourselves. And it's never really clear who that person is, which character of the story we fulfill. But we do know that justice is a slow process. It was a slow process for the widow who had to come back day after day after day after day. It's a slow process in our own age, in our own time. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said in one of his speeches that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Both sides of that sentence are significant. That the arc of the moral universe is long. We know it takes a long time to change things. But it always bends toward justice. We know that our world has made great strides toward the equality that Dr. King committed his life to, and yet we also know that there is much work left to be done for the cause of equality and many other matters of justice. What he started isn't finished. It's a day-to-day persistence that we continue to embark upon. The moral universe, it seems, does not know the word repentance. Right? I said repentance is to turn around. The moral universe does not know U-turns. Indeed, it seems neither does the moral universe even know how to go around the corner and set off in a new direction. But bit by bit, slowly, surely, it bends toward justice. And why does it bend toward justice? Because this is what the kingdom of God is all about, and therefore It cannot do otherwise. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. There's two parts to that introduction that Luke gives to this parable. Pray always. Constancy, faithfulness in all that we do, remembering each day to call upon the Lord to be about the work that the Lord has set before us. But do not lose heart. It's easy to lose heart, to lose our motivation in the middle of on day 12 of the 40-day of your diet, new diet, or on day 12 of your new exercise regimen, right? While you're waiting to get to day 40, it's day 12 where we lose heart. But the challenge is to keep moving in the same direction time and time again, recognizing the hard work that lies before us and yet relishing the opportunity to embrace it. Justice is hard work. There's a First Nations woman by the name of Cindy Blackstock, and I can't remember. She's done a great deal of advocacy work around the residential school questions and the 60s scoops, those issues of justice that have weighed heavily upon us over the last several years. But every time some major accomplishment happens, Cindy Blackstock reminds us of a gentleman by the name of Dr. Peter Bryce. Dr. Peter Bryce worked for the Department of Indian Affairs in the early 1900s. And in his work, he visited the residential schools, and he wrote back then about the appalling conditions that Native children were having to endure in the residential schools, and how the government needed to take action. That was in the early 1900s. So let's go over 100 years ago. His reports back then went mostly unheeded. But bit by bit, slowly, slowly, ever so slowly, the arc of justice bends. And so we have worked toward making amends, confessing the role of the churches in the residential school system, the suffering that was endured there. We've slowly but surely gone through the work of recognizing the wrong of residential schools, work of the Truth and Reconciliation Committee, of trying to build a vision for a new reality. But it is just a vision. It's not there yet just because it's on the paper. But we're getting there. Slowly, slowly, but surely. And we can say surely in this and in all of the questions of justice in the world that we are surely moving toward the right place, because it is the place of the kingdom of God. And that while we may be slow to act, Jesus asks the question, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give all these things to you? That we recognize God's justice and we work toward it. from this poor woman who appears before an unjust judge. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, working for the equality of people of color within the United States. Dr. Peter Bryce and all those who have followed him, who have recognized the injustice of the way in which we have dealt with First Nations people. To our Lord Jesus Christ, who comes to walk among us and who has given himself for us, has laid down his very life so that we might know, see, and work for justice. Sometimes it will wear you down, but sometimes perhaps that is a good thing, because it is the first step to the realization of the kingdom of God, even when we're unaware of it. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our God, who provides for our every need, invites us to give of ourselves as we work and wait for the coming of Christ's kingdom, trusting in the Spirit to sustain us in all things. Let us share generously with those who are in need. Let us pray. Eternal God, may these gifts that we bring be signs of your grace, and may our lives show forth the coming kingdom, that when Christ comes again, he will find faith on earth. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of justice and mercy, we thank you for the gift of the law and all of your scriptures. We thank you for establishing justice and for dealing with us not according to our faithfulness, but according to your mercy. Put your persistent spirit within us, so that we may work tirelessly and cry out day and night until your will is done in all the earth. We thank you for all that you have taught us, for all who have taught us the faith and who teach us still. This faith that is a firm foundation for our lives and our life together. We pray that you will continue to guide and bless the church in yet another time of change and reformation. Help us to trust in you so strongly that we are willing to take risks for the gospel, even if in risking we grow uncomfortable or afraid of uncertainty and newness. Keep us moving in concert with your Holy Spirit. Give your church wisdom to discern sound teaching, and never let us be satisfied with the easy answers that do not follow your way. As we come, we bring to you the concerns and cares of the world around us. Especially we pray for those who long for justice and freedom, safety and sustenance. We pray for those who work to overturn laws that oppress, and those who work to restrain military might that threatens human dignity. We pray for people caught in unjust systems, those being denied education and health care, victims of human trafficking, exiles who wander lonely for home. We pray for those who live daily with food insecurity and job insecurity and peace insecurity. We pray fervently for an end to war and violence among us. We pray for an end to hunger and for an increase in generosity as we share the world's resources. Help us to look with compassion on all who live in harm's way, and may we be the answer to their needs. We bring to you the cares and the joys of this human life. We rejoice with those among us who celebrate a time of newness and renewal, for a new addition to the family, a new relationship bringing a sense of happiness and fun, for meaningful work to do and good colleagues, for new members and visitors among us who bring energy and ideas and faith stories that enrich our life together, for healing and hope after a difficult time. We pray, too, for those in the midst of struggle and pain, those who are contending with illness, those in need of comfort and peace that only you, O Lord, can give. We pray for those who are living with anxiety, with the anxiety of loss of income, loss of memory, loss of stability at home, loss of friendships. Heal us of our diseases, strengthen us in our frailties, and empower us for change. We do not cry out in desperation, O God, but in hope. For you are just in all your ways, and you hear us when we call upon you. Hear us now as we continue to pray in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. The hymn can be found at number 410 in the Book of Praise, or it will appear before you on the screens.
Joyful, joyful, we adore you, God.
And now, let us stand firm in the faith, pray persistently, work tirelessly for justice, for the days are surely coming when God's kingdom will be all in all. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.